Call us in the Finance Committee to order. Today is March 31st. We're in State Capitol, Senate Finance Room. Present with me are Chairman Stidman, Chairman Olson, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk, and myself, Senator Hoffman. We have one item on today's agenda. It's a confirmation of the governor's appointee to the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. John Crowther, the designee, please come forward and give us your best sales pitch of why you should be the commissioner.
Well, thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Crowther, commissioner designee of the Department of Natural Resources. I don't have a slide presentation about myself, mercifully for me and for you. I do have some prepared remarks that are a little repetitive at my third hearing, but they're the result of both reflection and conviction, so wanted to present them and then, of course, take your questions and welcome that discussion. Good morning. Thank you very much for considering my nomination. It's a sincere honor and privilege to serve as commissioner designee pending confirmation. I'm thankful to Governor Dunleavy for entrusting me with this responsibility, and today I intend to share just a short summary of my background, five concepts that I want to emphasize at the department, and five priorities I have for 2026. I grew up in Anchorage, and I've lived there almost all my life, aside from going outside for college and law school, and time that I spent working for both our state and federal governments in Washington, D.C. I've been able to work directly for the last eight DNR commissioners. I've learned a great deal from all of them. I'm thankful for their mentorship, and I hope to put many of their good lessons to use in this role. Over my career to date, I've been blessed to have several dream jobs, but I frankly consider this chief among them. I view this undertaking as a very serious responsibility, an obligation to our state and our people. I intend to pursue it earnestly, with some attempt at humility and some attempt at humor along the way. As for five principles, the first is that I and our team are always able and willing to learn and adapt. Avoid overconfidence, to be creative, to accept new ideas, to be willing to change, and willing to adopt new processes and tools. Second, in the midst of this change, keep an eye on our mission and our purpose, to develop, conserve, and maximize the use of our resources in the public interest. Why do we do that? So that Alaska can thrive. We must focus on that vision in all that we do. Third, we respect ourselves. I want the employees of DNR to support and encourage each other, acknowledge the significant demands on ourselves and our capabilities, cultivate professionalism, and hold our heads high. These three build into the fourth, to respect the public that we serve. We adapt, we stay focused on our goal, and we hold ourselves to a high standard so we can make the hard decisions that affect Alaskans and at times have no perfect answer. When it's needed most, we're responsive, forthright, and comprehensive so that Alaskans know we're going the extra mile to understand their needs while meeting our mission. Finally, there are opportunities seen and unseen, known and unknown, all around us. Our task is fundamentally to take joy in stoking optimism, seizing the day, and unlocking these opportunities for the public. This brings me to five priorities for 2026 to put these principles to work. The first is to advance the governor's initiatives and execute on his vision for growth. This means supporting the gas line, boosting the dynamic use of our lands for commercial opportunities, for things like housing, for new access, for development partnerships, and for long-term planning for assets like our timber and agricultural resources. He wants us to be energized and to act when opportunity is at hand, and we will act. Second, to seize federal opportunities. The partial revocation of Public Land Order 5150 is a marquee example of this, but these opportunities abound, and there are generational chances to unlock these opportunities for the public with hard work and partnership with a willing federal government. Third, to seize the development window that we're in. We have a North Slope renaissance. We also have Cook Inlet energy demands. And we have mineral development that's being driven by booming commodity demand around the country. And these are DNR's core businesses, and I intend to double down on all of them. Fourth, to firmly establish and strengthen our relationship for responsiveness, our reputation for responsiveness, engagement, and decisiveness with the public, where DNR is clear and confident about our mission, our processes, and our results. Finally, I want to strengthen our culture. I want to promote from within, train new leaders, bring in new talent, and cultivate our people so that the department is even more energized and motivated at the end of the year than they are today, with a record of accomplishment to be proud of. In closing, I want to say thank you to my family and my friends for their support, and thank you to all the employees of DNR who make these action items for 2026 imminently achievable. I think we're set up for a great year at the department. So thank you again to the governor for his designation, and thank you to the committee for your consideration, and I welcome your questions and discussion.
Thank you. Do members of the Finance Committee have questions at this point? Senator Sedman.
We've got a kind of a series of them, actually. A few weeks ago, I saw that the enforcement officers cited three individuals for intentionally sinking their ships or their boats, fishing boats, which is good to see that they're actually getting aggressive in dealing with this, because we've got several of these, well, more than several, we have quite a few derelict vessels sitting on the beach, DNR land. And I was wondering from the commissioner designee what his thoughts are on helping the state clean these up and get the responsible people in gear to take care of their derelict boats, so it's not just junk boats on the beach. And then I got a couple more, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Designee.
Thank you, Senator Stedman, through the chair. I appreciate the issue. It's one I'm very well aware of from my time at the department. You know, we have this issue around the state that vessels sometimes of significant size, whether it's in a navigable waterway that needs to be navigated, whether it's in a scenic area, whether it's in a residential area, those vessels are abandoned, and that causes a challenge for the use and enjoyment of those waters. And so it's a very important part of our work at the department. As with many of our obligations, we have challenges with funding and authority and capacity, but we work hard to use the resources that we have, and as you noted, we have had several efforts recently to respond to those, and certainly intend to continue that during my time at the department.
Senator Stedman.
Yes, there is some funds available, and my recommendation is you lean on the department a lot. They can certainly pursue the issues. These costs are significant, and a lot of times they just dispose of these old vessels just because of convenience, knowing that the state does not much more than write a letter. And clearly we have a Department of Law that can deal with it. Another subject matter is the snow removal. The issue of the communities getting backed up with heavy snow loads, and the snow just stacked in the way instead of dumped out on the, pushed out on the beach where it's going to end up anyway. It would be nice if that was rectified. We could even see it here in Juneau this winter when we had large piles of snow we had to navigate around. It's all going to melt and be on the beach anyway. So plugging up everything, just so I'd like to have the commissioner designee get back to the committee on if that's a regulatory issue that's blocking that, or it's in statute, or how to rectify it, because it's not an efficient use of capital to double handle the snow for all our communities.
Preliminary response, Commissioner.
Senator Stedman, through the chair, I appreciate the question and the point there. It's we obviously are seeing it in Juneau and in several communities given the snow load we've had. And certainly happy to work with the committee on information about what we do today and how that can be improved.
Mm-hmm. The next one is royalties. My concern is, you know, for those watching at home, that DNR takes care of royalties, where revenue takes care of our severance tax. The commissioner exercises his authority to protect our royalty stream. I'm, for one, am not impressed with when we give up royalties. We've already been in a predicament with our severance tax and how that's structured. And I would just encourage Mr. Chairman that the commissioner designee doesn't back off our royalties and does not pursue a methodology that the previous commissioner of revenue did by going around the Department of Law with outside counsel to put together some skullduggery. So I think that was an unfortunate issue that we have to deal with here at the committee in the next few weeks. But I would just encourage the commissioner designee to never even looking onto the dark side, as he is the number one protector of our royalties in the state.
Response?
Thank you, Senator Stedman, through the chair. I very much appreciate and understand your point there. I mean, our royalties are a multi-billion dollar revenue stream, core to the department's responsibilities and, you know, core to decades ahead for future Alaskans. And so I take that responsibility very seriously across our royalty portfolio and certainly am available and willing to talk about any specific royalty action at any time in the committee during my service. And appreciate your point. You know, I view the following of our proper processes, coordinating with the Department of Law, being transparent as very important. So we'll do my best to ensure that every possible policy is followed there.
Senator Stedman.
And then the last one, I would just like to encourage you to work with communities across the state on trying to open up land. We have housing constraints all over. It's one of our biggest challenges when we try to hire employees in our communities, virtually every community, that, you know, there's housing unavailability. And we have a program over at Alaska Housing where I think there's $8 million in this year's budget request, and started a couple years ago, where the department, in this case DNR, could go to Alaska Housing if there's a subdivision request that doesn't meet the hurdle rate for an equity infusion, to get that hurdle rate taken care of to ensure that we get some of this property out on the tax rolls and allow our communities to have housing so we can bring in our teachers and our nurses and our policemen and, you know, the building blocks and that we need for our community and just worker expansion. I think DNR is a large landowner, and I'd just like to encourage him to recognize that Alaska Housing has these funds. I expect those funds to stay in the budget this year, the $8 million request from the governor. It's a good program, and I'd like to thank the governor for putting that forward and encourage the commissioner Wannabe to become aware of that, and it could be very handy.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. I appreciate your comments on the gas line. Every governor has made a gas line and the construction of the gas line and getting the gas to the people of Alaska and to the markets. So I don't think you're going to find any objection to that concept at this table or even in the building. The problem that I see, having been here for quite some time, is that we have a fiduciary responsibility to the people of Alaska. And the governor has introduced his piece of legislation to address property tax relief. We don't know if that's a good deal or a bad deal, because we don't have the information on what the costs are, what the financing mechanism is, a whole array of financial questions that it would seem to me that all other governors have brought forward to the Finance Committee for our consideration. So I don't know if there's a question in there, but it's something that if we want to work with you and the administration to get a gas line built, there has to be better information brought forward on financial data so that we can have a dialogue. And I wonder if you might comment, I guess, on what you see as our request for financial data to make a fiduciary decision for the state of Alaska, because we're all wanting the gas line built.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I, you know, in my time appearing before the committee, I've done my best to be as transparent and proactive with data sharing as possible as that relates to the department's obligations and missions. As you referenced, you know, the gas line project has a variety of state authorities and public interest implicated really at the highest level and the consequence of the future of our state. So I certainly intend and am eager to when it comes to the department's authorities, be as transparent as our laws allow today. You know, our Department of Natural Resources' primary role with regard to the gas line is managing the upstream royalty and then the right-of-way for the pipeline itself, the state land that the line crosses. So we have a conditional right-of-way issued to the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation to facilitate that land access. And then on the royalty side, we have a team that closely tracking the project, understanding the potential different structure of sales that might occur and how it affects our upstream royalty value, which, you know, right now we're not receiving significant direct royalty payments from our gas, and so the potential to unlock those is part of the public interest, the much more broader public interest served by the gas line. But certainly, sir, when it comes to being transparent and sharing information and having a dialogue to the greatest degree allowed by law, I intend to do that on behalf of the department.
And to state it further, it's not that this legislature or even past legislatures have been non-supportive. We have put forward close to $1 billion in expenditures trying to get a gas line. $1 billion. Mm. And we still haven't seen a steel being built. And today, from my viewpoint, we're not any closer than we were, maybe even farther apart than a previous administration. So I could say that the legislature is more interested in trying to get the line, and many people have been working on that project for decades. Further questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Designee, sometimes when a name comes forward from a governor, you hear issues from within a department. Sometimes you hear silence. You're one of the rare occasions where I've heard enthusiasm. So congratulations on that. That, I think, reflects a career long before you had an eye on the top job.
Thank you, sir.
And with that in mind, let's talk about a couple of issues beyond the next 8-plus months and the function and the vision for some of the department stuff. You have a lot of experience on the oil and gas side. We've talked a lot about that at the table today. Some of the issues in DNR outside of oil and gas. When it comes to the department's responsibility for state lands, I certainly agree with Senator Stebbins said about the tidelands and both the leasing and the derelicts. When it comes to other state lands, talk to us about the time frame to lease those lands, to get easements across those lands. I understand it's coming down, but what should we be looking at? What should we be looking for as Commissioner Crowther runs a department for 4 years, 5 years to come?
Well, thank you very much for the question, Senator Keel. I don't want to say I'm here for the day-to-day, but, you know, I take very seriously that, you know, every day and week brings a very serious obligation. And, you know, I want to be focused on the near term and such and not, you know, I don't want to be presumptuous about my duration or future at the department, you know, beyond the many, many things that we need to do well today. On the topic of your question about our state land use, it's something that I've seen evolve at my 10 years plus at the department off and on. The realization that when you adopt flexible management that's consistent with our regulations and statute but anticipates what the public needs, what developers need, that listens and goes back and forth rather than following just our kind of rote process, there's a lot of opportunities to navigate these challenges that we have across the state: remoteness, materials cost, access. And so what I really want to push and encourage our team, and fortunately, you know, this is an ethos, you know, our Division of Mining, Land, and Water is doing tremendous work right now. You referenced the easements, the timelines for those kind of authorizations. Those folks are working very hard on those and improving the metrics, the timelines that they get. But they also have that mindset of, how do we step back, look at the process holistically, look at our structure holistically, how do we continue to improve, not just this is our process, this is what we need to do it. Hopefully the, you know, other applicants will figure it out. Hopefully the legislature will fully fund it. Hopefully, you know, we can just march down our status quo. That's not at all the approach. And so I view my role as to continue to support, encourage, cultivate that, let those people who, you know, encourage them to connect. That's the right vision. That's the right orientation towards the public, towards industry, is we need to meet our statutes. We need to respond to your needs. We need to enable something to happen. And so I think in, you know, qualitative, it's a continued optimistic vision for it's good to work with the public and with industry to use our lands for housing, for access, for recreation. It's good to explore new partnerships as those industries evolve. And then in the specific sense, I mean, it really comes down to dollars and cents and timelines. You know, what do we do with technology, with our processes to, you know, we have our statutory 30-day public notice, we have other requirements in law, but our internal processes, can we apply ways to reduce those and make them streamlined? And so it's a big focus, and I'm very encouraged by the fact that I'm not alone. There's many, many, many people within the department who have that same orientation and really know the details better than I do. So my goal is to support them and let them keep pushing forward.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's good to hear you've got an eye on it. And I do appreciate that some of those time frames have come down from multiple years to now, I think, some of them are running about a year and a half, and hopefully you'll continue to put the eyes on it to bring those time frames down further. Great progress and more to make. When it comes to managing our lands more generally, there's a lot of them. You know, 105 million acres, I think, was the rough number, statehood. We certainly don't give you the budget to go out and pick up the trash. But you heard the concern earlier about derelict vessels on the tidelands. There's informal dumping and camping, not of the recreational sort, on state lands. How can we be doing a better vision in managing state of Alaska lands that nobody's put into, to, you know, as Senator Stedman says, put on the tax rolls yet? They're still your problem.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the question, Senator Keel. It's something that characterizes the department's nature and work. Our lands are, you know, we have a land portfolio really that rivals any other entity anywhere else in the world as far as its size and its breadth. And that makes accessing it for management, accessing it for use, extremely challenging. One of the things that, you know, I'm not as technologically advanced as I should be, but I will tell you that, you know, the ability to remotely gather data is just, it's night and day different than it was 2-3 years ago. It's night and day on an order of magnitude different than it was 10 years ago. And, you know, that goes for things like mineral data, but it also goes for hydrology. What's going on the ground? Can we do an inspection that we used to do, have to make a remote trip once every 3 years out to an area? Can we do it via drone or other imagery every year, every month? And help identify, well, there's someone out of compliance here, there's some additional activity on these lands, and just be more efficient. So I think it's, you know, to me, one of the big areas there is to let people who are able to adapt and apply, you know, this remote sensing, remote data gathering, drones, really step forward and bring it to the department. So I think that's one area we can continue to improve, and we've done a lot of great work already, and we have people who are really expert on those things today. It's exciting to see.
Senator Keel.
Thank you. One more, if I may, Mr. Chairman. So the other thing that you and I have talked just a little bit about is in the Division of Forestry and Fire Prevention. And I'm glad to see that the division is updating some forest management plans that haven't been touched in a couple of decades. That's probably too long for our plans to go without updating. But those are plans that affect how a lot of people use our multi-use state forests, and people are real invested in them. So as we look at public involvement and transparency, I will encourage you to continue to work with the division and work look at how the division conducts its public involvement to make sure that everybody really gets a crack at it. I know it can be a real pain in the neck to sit in a public meeting and get barked at, but they're the boss.
That's right.
And so with that admonition, I will follow up with a thank you. I know that I've been in contact with your department about working with tribes who have substantial interest in our state forests, and I appreciate how responsive the department has been. So I'll encourage you to keep that going, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Cronk.
I wanted to bring up timber. You know, I've been here a very short time of 6 years, and what I was really shocked to see was, at that time, was a lack of interest in real timber sales, especially when it comes to interior and agriculture, right? And so those are two big issues for me. But I see a movement towards, you know, more active forest management of using those resources versus watching them burn, and vice versa. By managing our forests, if we invest into that, hopefully we're going to save money in the long run from just fighting fires every year or spending $50 million a year. So what is your mission to prioritize timber resources? For that, it's very difficult to be a timber person without long-term sales. And I want to make sure we're focusing on that, because it's very hard for people to go get money from a bank to buy the equipment necessary if they only have like a 4-year sale versus a 20-year sale or a 40-year sale. So how are you going to prioritize that?
Thank you very much, Senator Cronk, for the question. It's the need to better use, you know, our timber resource, our timber lands, our long-term assets, immensely valuable, but in some sense a huge liability. I know my predecessor talked about that a great deal and focused really hard on it with our leadership at the Division of Forestry. And so I think all the work they've been putting in on some of the themes I already talked about, you know, being responsive to industry. Timber sales are a complex process. It's hard for us to run our own process. But what there's really been an orientation and recognition in the division that we need to be running that process for the public interest and for the kinds of sales, the processes for sales, the timelines for sales that are needed by industry. And so that's something I want to continue to encourage and push our forestry team to do, is respond and adapt as we need to meet the market, to meet these evolving industries, new kinds of lumber use, in-state, you know, lumber that's available, you know, to maximize that value. So I want to keep encouraging them to do that, absolutely. And then what I referenced previously about technology, you know, that's has huge applications for forest management as well. You know, predictive modeling about where wildfires are, where lightning may occur, how to get in and assess timber stands without having to plan a fieldwork program and you know, high expenditures years in advance. So it's certainly a focus that I want to absolutely keep at the department. I know it's top of mind for the governor. To maximize the long-term value of that timber resource. So certainly want to do my best to do that.
Senator Cronk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And another question is on agriculture. And while you know, that hasn't been a real priority over the last 30 years, it became a priority. And, you know, we had a land sale in Indiana, Chautauquac there for ag sales. But prior to that, we had some sales where we did open up land, but we never really had the investment into it versus, you know, how are we maintaining those roads, and do we have, you know, the power that's needed to, you know, to have good agriculture. So how do we go backwards a little bit and actually help maintain those roads that we put in prior? And I'm looking at some of the Indiana area or the Eielson Farm Road area or even the Delta area, and we have the, you know, the two-phase power that I know we had an investment in a Delta area, but these areas are really prime for really good agriculture for Alaska, and we just lack that infrastructure. But when we put in a road and then we just kind of turn it over to the people that have a farm, there's not a big profit margin, but, you know, they're doing it because they love doing it, and then they have the onus of maintaining that road that the state actually put in. It becomes a real big burden for them. How do we help you know, promote more agriculture? And I know part of it is our lack of infrastructure for transportation, but how do we promote that, you know, through the Department of making things easier and helping those farmers, you know, with the power or even the maintaining the roads that they have.
Thank you, Senator Cronk. There are several ongoing projects, as you referenced, about those potential sales and future sales in the interior and the Nanana and Chichacket project. And that's something that I historically haven't worked in close detail on, but I'm working with my team to come up to speed because it's critically important. You know, the work that the legislature has done on food security, it's been a huge priority of the governor to bring a focus to agriculture and to, you know, shift our thinking and our paradigm on how the state, you know, brings things forward, makes things economically work for farmers in our state. One of the things I would emphasize is, you know, the department is composed of all these different resource management obligations, and there's a lot of synergy when it comes to, you know, mining development, timber development in the interior. We are slowly seeing some of that infrastructure network get built out. And I think that's, you know, if we're very efficient with our processes, if we're efficient with sharing data about mineral opportunities, about timber, it brings more user groups into the area and brings more users under those roads, helps spread the costs, and helps justify active state management and potentially support. So I think, you know, it's a rising tide lifting all boats as far as the resource opportunities in Alaska right now.
Senator Cronk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I guess I'm just going to highlight the fact that maybe while we're looking at new areas, that we also look at the old areas that we put in and see how we can help those farmers with their ag. Again, whether it's just road maintenance that they have, because we've kind of just built roads and say, hey, sorry, guys, there you go. It's up to you. And that's not very productive, because if you look at what we just did in Nenana, now we're going to contract that road maintenance out to the city of Nenana. And all those other farmers from the past 20 years are like, hey, what about our roads that, you know, the state put in and there's no maintenance on them? So and they're already in production, right? So those are people that are struggling to make their ends meet. So if we could take a look at that. And then one last thing is hopefully we can work together on this Delta Bison Range, because I know DNR owns the Delta Bison Range, and that is a really important revenue generator for not only the state with, you know, the bison hunts, but for the community of Delta and all the money, the revenue that brings in for those bison. And we just want to maybe work together on how to solve and manage those bison areas a little better. But thank you.
Thank you, Senator Cronk. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back on the forest management, I'd encourage the wannabe commissioner to work with some of the other departments on land consolidation. There's several places where state land is broken up under different entities, and there's a lot of synergy that's lost because the parcels are too small. And if they could be, we could do land exchanges amongst ourselves between the university, DNR, and mental health, we'd have a better opportunity to move forward in creating jobs and the revenue source and the kids for our schools and our communities. And there's several areas on Prince of Wales and down around Ketchikan that are prime examples of that, where there's a lot of opportunity lost just because the parcels are so broke up amongst the three state entities. And it would be beneficial for some consolidation. Also, to the earlier comment from Senator Cronk, it would be, you know, nice to have a 40-year contract, but I think the industry would be tickled pink if we could just get a 10-year contract. I think a 10-year you can take to the bank. A 2-year contract's pretty hard with the cost of the equipment. And I just had a meeting, Mr. Chairman, yesterday with the superintendent of Craig Schools, you know, and they're having challenges in their school system because of kids losing headcount, and it's directly related to the lack of industry on the island. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. I think your predecessor spent some time looking at that, and you're probably aware of some of these areas I'm referring to, but I just like to point that out. I think it would be very beneficial for some consolidation between the three groups.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Further questions? Senator Kaufman.
Thank you. I'm wondering if you can just give your perspective or a bit of little bit of an update on any kind of digital modernization as far as, you know, you mentioned the benefits of being able to monitor areas electronically, but all the data management and, you know, the processes around that, is there anything that you're going to focus on with regards to handling all of that data and squeezing the good out of it?
Thank you very much, Senator Kaufman. We have an amazing amount of both physical data and electronic data. You know, our Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys is generating it. You know, we're getting to that stage where a given year produces more than the prior 10 years, and then the next year's 10 years more than that, just with the amount of things that can be gathered. And interpreting it, applying it is critically important. You know, so on the raw resource data, there's a huge focus in the department on just that. We have a new state geologist, Dr. Aaron Campbell, who comes to us from Wyoming, you know, similar resource state, looking at, and she's really motivated to how do we take what we have and make it available and applicable and useful. When it comes kind of to our more general business processes, you know, there's a tremendous amount of technological adaptation that's probably needed in the department. It's an area where, frankly, I don't always have the most strength. You know, I have a lot of paper on my desk, I'll say that. But, you know, that's part of empowering the people who know and understand those issues to come up with solutions and suggestions from within the department. Work with, you know, when it comes to technology management, it's not just a department silo, it's an integrated government effort. So our OMB, our Department of Administration, other folks we need to work with on that. But it's very important for me to empower and encourage solutions from within for these data management and processing. So
I could trade you the amount of paperwork on my desk for the paperwork on your desk anytime. Further questions to the commissioner designee? Seeing none, we will open the public hearing. Is there anybody online that wants to testify? Anybody in the audience? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony. Closing comments, Commissioner Designee.
Mr. Chairman, I just would say sincerely thank you for the committee. It's my honor to be in this role, and I'm going to be working as hard as I can to do right by the public, by the employees of the department, and by our obligation and critical public mission. So thank you very much for the consideration, and always available to speak on any particular issue or further questions here at the table or wherever you'd like.
Thank you. Senator Keel, will of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Senate Finance Committee, having reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointee, recommends the name of John Crowther, appointee as commissioner for the Department of Natural Resources, be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. A vote on the motion does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, that motion passes. That concludes this morning's meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We have three items on the agenda tomorrow morning: Senate Bill 41, Public Schools, Mental Health Education; Senate Bill 163, Repeal Certain Inactive Funds and Accounts; and Senate Bill 274, Permanent Fund POMV Available for Appropriation. Anything else to come before the committee? Seeing none, we are adjourned.